this is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Art Haywood and his guests, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Haywood, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. That's star 3 on your phone's keypad if you have a question for Senator Haywood this evening. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Haywood.
Thank you, you, and thank you all who are area residents participating on tonight's call. Some of the best feedback and ideas that I receive come directly from constituents and from these telephone town halls. I'm Senator Art Haywood. I'm holding this live telephone town hall, and we're going to discuss ways to reduce poverty, the report that my office was able to create, as well as the people's budget and economic justice here in the Commonwealth. Be glad to answer any other questions you may have as well on tonight's call. This format will allow you to listen in and even ask a question from the comfort of your home. If you'd like to ask a question at any time, press star 3 on your phone.
Thank you, Senator. Again, for those that have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Haywood tonight about the poverty report, the people's budget, or any other issue, you can press star 3 on your phone's keypad. That's star 3 on your phone's keypad. And, Senator, as we have some folks that are joining us here this evening, can you talk a little bit about the poverty report, the process you used to develop the report? You know, where did you go outreach? You know, how did you accomplish and achieve the final result?
Sure. So back in the spring, we went on a 5-town tour of Pennsylvania to hear from people who were struggling in poverty. And I had been recently appointed to be the Democratic chair of the Human Services Committee. And that's a committee that makes a lot of decisions to put resources or come up with new rules for the many vulnerable people in the Commonwealth. So I thought, hey, I'm on this new committee. I got to make sure I understand these new rules and the conditions of people before we come up with a bunch of ideas where we think the answers are correct, but they may not be. So we went to McKeesport in the west, Erie in the west, Lock Haven in central Pennsylvania, Scranton in northeast, and in Germantown, part of my district. And we heard from individuals sharing their stories and their struggles of how to get out of poverty, how to make ends meet just to get basic necessities. And then we were able to take all these comments that we got probably from 15 or more people, and we produced a report. It's about a 50-page report. It's on my website, senatorhaywood.com. It describes each of the testimonies of what we heard from individuals. And then we have about 20 recommendations as ways to reduce poverty. One of those recommendations is we've asked Governor Wolf to create something we call an Office of Economic Opportunity, just to organize the many different divisions of government into one focus of reducing poverty. I know the governor is looking at that. So that was the experience. We learned so much from people about their challenges, how many of them were really trying but had been defeated. And one thing I would like to share in terms of what I learned, what I've been saying, that we learned, at least I learned, that many folks who have very little money are kind of put in a box. I call it the poverty box. And they're put in this box where, on one hand, one of the walls is low pay. You got a number of people making 7 and a quarter. That's low pay. That's poverty wages. You can't make it on 7 and a quarter an hour. Another wall, the box we heard, was people who had to work weekends and evenings, but they can't find child care to fit the weekends and the evenings. And so they were getting boxed out of jobs. Another side of the box was inaccessible transportation, where the jobs were all around the suburbs, but the people needing the jobs were in the cities. And they didn't have transportation, public transportation to get out there. We heard of one guy who was spending $300 a month on Uber or Lyft to get to and from work. Just couldn't make it happen. And in the last of the four walls of the box that we heard over and over again was housing is too much. We talked to one person. One guy shared he lived in a car for several weeks before he could get a place to stay. Another lady shared that she lived in a car for several months with an adult son who had autism. So it was many, many challenges that we heard. But we did come up with some recommendations, and we're hopeful we can move those along.
Thank you, Senator. Before we talk with the folks that are called in this evening, again, just as a reminder, if you have a question for Senator Haywood, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood about the poverty report, the people's budget, or any other issue tonight, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we talked a little bit about the poverty report and the process you used there. Do you want to talk a little bit about the people's budget?
Yeah, thanks so much. So one of the things we realize is that many of the challenges that people face and we face throughout the Commonwealth regard having a greater investment in our people. Let me give you an example. Higher education in Pennsylvania, student loan debt is the second highest in the nation. And student loan debt for higher education is the second highest in the nation is because we're not funding our higher education at the right rate. Of all the states in the nation, we are last in terms of public money into colleges and universities. And now that makes sense. If we're less than putting money in from the state, then the families and the parents have to be first or second in terms of student loans to come up with the difference. So the people's budget says we got to invest in each other, and we start off with $1 billion for higher education. Education is a foundation of opportunity. We have also put $500 million into public education, K-12, so that the FAIR formula funding that we adopted several years ago can get enough money in it so that schools will be fairly funded in about 8 years. Right now, we're on a path with the current funding, it'll take about 50 years or more. But the people's budget with $500 million gets us fully funded within 8 years. Now, where does this money come from? We got about $3 billion that we have identified from essentially taxing those who are the richest in Pennsylvania. And it taxes the richest by taxing capital gains, taxing net profits, taxing royalties, taxing dividends, taxing the kind of income that rich people have without any increase in taxes for people who just earn a salary or get interest. In fact, our plan includes some reduction. So those are some of the highlights. We're glad to talk more about the people's budget. We had a good media event at Johnson House, which is the site of the Underground Railroad. And we had a good media event there yesterday to try to help people see that investing in each other is the best way to secure economic growth. Just want to say one last thing before we go to the callers on that topic. Big companies like Amazon, when they were looking at coming to Pennsylvania, they were not concerned about the tax level. These big companies want a strong workforce. They want people who are skilled and ready to work. That's why we have to invest in each other in higher education and in education so that we can compete for the 21st century jobs, the 21st century jobs that are going to be the only way we maintain a strong and growing Pennsylvania.
Senator, thank you very much. Before we go back to the callers, just as a reminder, if you have a question for Senator Haywood tonight about the people's budget, the poverty report, or any other matter, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to our first caller tonight. We're going to go to Ernestine in Mount Airy. Ernestine, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Oh, thank you. Well, Senator Haywood, how many people did you say you interviewed in order to put this report together?
Thank you. Excellent question. Thank you, Ernestine. We had panelists of about six people in five locations, so it was about 30 people. and it was across the Commonwealth. We wanted to make sure we heard from people in the West and in the North and in the central part of the state, so we could get more than just the Philadelphia experience. I encourage you, if you've got internet access, the report is on my website, SenatorHaywood.com, and you can actually hear and see some of the people telling their stories. This is the beauty of the internet, which is a better than the written report. And they told stories, for instance, of particularly in Erie, we heard serious concerns about low pay and people working in low-paid jobs, not able to make ends meet. And let me be more clear about this. Poverty nationally is defined by the national government. The national government says if you make $16,000 or less and there's two people in your household, you are in poverty. Two people, $16,000, you are in poverty. Someone on the making minimum wage, 7 1/4, if they work full-time, they're going to make $15,000 a year. Full-time, 7 1/4, you are in poverty because that's below $16,000. And that was one of the big complaints around the state. Low pay was keeping people in poverty.
Well, I have a question.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. It just occurred to me. Well, I've been thinking about this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've been discussing raising the minimum wage up to $15 an hour.
Yes.
But that has been going on for 7, 8 years.
Yes.
At this point, I think the minimum wage needs to be increased to $22.
So we do need to increase the minimum wage. I'm 100% with you. We got a lot of resistance to that. I don't know that 22 is the right number. But I can tell you this. A living wage, as determined by different people at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, they say that the living wage, a living wage in Philly is about 22. It's either 21 or $22 an hour. So you $22 an hour is a living wage. But we're at 7 1/4. We can't even get to 15. So I'm very reluctant to try to get a higher number when we can't even get to the 15 number. I do want you to know that the state Senate, though, last time we were in Harrisburg last month, we agreed to increase the minimum wage to $9.50. Now, $9.50 obviously is not 15, it's not 22, but $9.50 an hour is about $20,000 a year. Now, $20,000 a year is a little bit of money, but it's more than the poverty level of 16. And so with $9.50 an hour, you're still going to be seriously struggling, especially here in Philadelphia. But you will be out of poverty if you got a family or two. But I'm with you. We need to raise the wage. And one more reason we need to raise the wage, once people have extra money, they're going to spend it. They're going to spend it in the stores in our neighborhoods. And when they spend the money in the stores in our neighborhood, those stores get stronger, they have more sales because people are buying more, and those stores can hire more people because they got more customers who are buying. Every business owner I know would rather have a customer who's making $30,000, who's got $30,000 a year income than a $10,000 a year income because they got more money to spend. Thank you, Ernestine. Thank you, sir, for calling. I hope I did answer your question.
Ernestine, thank you very much for your question. Senator, before we go to our next caller, just a reminder for those that have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Haywood tonight, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3. If you have a question for Senator Haywood tonight, Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Elizabeth in Willow Grove. Elizabeth, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hello, Senator Haywood.
Hello.
Hi. My name is Elizabeth, and I live in the Wilbur area. Are you going to do anything with the septic situation? Because I know you guys are putting up a lot of money for the septic situation in the Wilgrove area. Are you going to do anything about that?
So the SEPTA has a new general manager. Her name is Leslie Richards. And that is a big advantage for us in Montgomery County, because Leslie Richards used to be a county commissioner in Montgomery County, and Leslie lives in Montgomery County. So I believe now that Leslie is the new manager of SEPTA, that we in Montgomery County have a friend, we got an ally, and I will take the concerns I will take them to Leslie. With the Willow Grove situation, there's a number of actually challenges of SEPTA in the district. But I will take those concerns to Leslie Richards, and I believe we'll have a sympathetic ear and get some support because she's connected to our county. I would ask you to give my office a call tomorrow so you can tell us in more detail the situation there in Willow Grove. We heard some, but more details would be helpful. Would you please take the phone number for my office, which is 215-242-8171. 215-242-8171. Please call my office with more details so that we can have the full story to present to the new general manager, Leslie Richards. But I think we have a friend there who will help us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, thank you very much for your call. But Senator, before we go to our next caller, I want to introduce our live poll question this evening. And the live poll question is this: do you think the wealthy should pay their fair share of taxes? For those that are on the line, if you believe they should, you can press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you believe they should not, you can press 2 on your phone's keypad. And again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood this evening, press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to move to Martha at West Oak. Martha, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hello, Senator Haywood. This is Martha Lambert from West Oak Lane. I'm a senior citizen, so I get pension and retirement. But my concern is, what are we going to do about these young people that's working 3 jobs?
For example, yes,
I have a security guard over there. He said, I work 3 jobs, and I'm so tired. I think it's just so ridiculous that our young people got to work part-time 3 jobs when they're supposed to sleep.
Yeah.
And how do you help them?
Yeah, I agree 100%. And it's also affecting our children, because often we say to parents, hey, you need to be at back-to-school night. You need to help the children at home with homework. Yes, they do, but how can they do so if they're working 2-3 jobs? So I have seen the impact on families as well as individuals, and the 3 jobs is just far too much. Now, my response to that is, number one, we got to raise pay so the person don't have to work 2-3 jobs and get the minimum wage. Yeah, I'm with you 100%. We got to get up. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Did you say red tag?
No, I'm sorry. We got to raise the minimum wage. We got to raise pay.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I wasn't clear. And we got to raise pay for people by raising the minimum wage up to $15 an hour. And then individuals won't have to work 2-4 jobs, because the job that they have will be more capable of paying them a decent amount. Now, I do have a second approach, though. I do strongly encourage people to look for job opportunities to invest in themselves, to get some additional training so that they can get a higher paying job. So I've talked to some folks who Aqua, the water company. They have some jobs with people, if you get 1 or 2 years of training, make $60,000 a year.
Wow.
So, yeah, so there's some training in skills that you can get a 1 or 2 year certificate training for, and it's jump up in terms of how much money you can make. We have in my office a sheet that describes jobs that pay $50,000 or more that you can get with 1 to 2 years worth of training, not 4 years, 1 to 2 years worth of training.
Okay.
I encourage you that we'll be glad to send that to you so you can share it with folks. People got to invest. You got to put some money in, but after 1 to 2 years, you can make $50,000 or more.
Okay. Well, you give me
I'll tell you where you can get it. I'll tell you. Just like I mentioned to the last caller, Martha, call my office 215-242-8171.
8171. That's your office number, right?
Yep. That's my office. Ask for Dwight.
Okay.
And we'll make sure you get the sheet that shows these jobs and the job opportunities. But I am fighting to get the minimum wage up.
I could also walk down the street and speak to Carlton. He could give that to me also, couldn't he? Because I live down the street from Dwight Evans' office.
So I don't know that Carlton has it. So my office, I'm talking about a different Dwight. My office is at Mount Pleasant in Germantown.
Oh, okay.
Now, let me say this. I can get some copies of this over to Carlton. It will take me, it won't be there tomorrow. You got to give me a couple of days. I can get it over to Carlton by, tomorrow, probably by Friday. We can drop some off to Carlton.
And you tell him to hold that for Martha Lambert, right?
I will.
I can distribute it to the couple of people that, you know, that's concerned about working three jobs.
How many do you need?
I say about 5.
Okay. Carlton will have them, but it'll be Friday. We gotta get them to him. It'll take a couple of days, but he'll have them by Friday.
Okay, no problem. I can walk down the street to Carlton's office and pick it up.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
I appreciate it, and thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Martha, thank you very much for your call. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood tonight, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. If you'd like to participate in our live poll question, our first one of this evening, the question is, do you think the wealthy should pay their fair share of taxes? If you do, you can press *1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, you can press *2. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. But again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood, press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Adam in Jenkintown. Adam, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi, Senator Haywood. I just wanted to first state that I think you're doing an excellent job and you really represent the people.
Thank you.
That means a lot to me and my family. So you mentioned regarding the minimum wage that you're getting resistance. And I was just curious, number one, where the resistance comes from. I'm assuming it's the Republicans, but maybe you can be more specific on the resistance. And then number two, how we can overcome and raise the minimum wage.
Okay, thank you, Adam. So first on the resistance. The main resistance is from folks who are in counties where the economies are much weaker. Elk County, Lycoming County, Greene County, Warren County, Crawford County. These counties have economies much weaker than Philadelphia County, and so they do not feel that their local economies can handle a $12 or $15 an hour rate. We have acknowledged that and said, look, I know that the Greene County economy and the Philadelphia are very different. Cost of living is different. Business structure is different. So the solution is to have a different rate in Philadelphia than we have in Elk County. So that Philadelphia can determine the rate may be different than the Elk County rate. But our key challenge is that those who live in counties with much weaker economies don't want to raise the wage to anything like that's adequate for southeastern Pennsylvania. In the Senate, we did agree to raising the minimum wage to $9.50 an hour over the course of a couple of years, you know, doing it in gradual in stages. $9.50 an hour may be a decent wage in Greene County or Elk County. It's not in Montgomery or Philadelphia County. So that's where the resistance is.
I was just curious, could it be differentiated in some of these counties where, like, a large corporation, a big box retailer could be responsible for upping the minimum wage, and then maybe a small business owner that where would really affect the small business owner could keep a lower wage? Could it be increased proportionally for the corporations that are making hand over fist?
So that's a challenge. We got some uniformity requirements in Pennsylvania that make it difficult for us to have tiered level of wage rates. I think we could do more for some counties versus other counties, but in terms of big business versus small business, I don't know that we can do that under the Pennsylvania Constitution that requires some level of uniformity. I do want to say this, though, in terms of what can change. I do believe that in the 2020 election, if we around the state are committed to electing people who want to raise the minimum wage, then it will happen. In Michigan, in many states, when it's gotten to the voters as to what the voters want, they have consistently voted for increasing the minimum wage. This is in Republican areas or Democratic areas. It doesn't matter. When you ask the voters what they want, whether it's all across the nation, when there's referendums, the voters want to raise the minimum wage no matter a party affiliation. So I do believe that in the next election, if we tell people to vote only for candidates who are willing to raise the minimum wage, that will happen. But thanks for your call. I think I appreciate the support and the encouragement to continue to fight on. I am committed to raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. $9.50, I'm going to vote. I voted for $9.50. That's a significant raise. If you're making $7.25 and you get a raise to $9.50 and you work full time, that's a $4,600 raise. I'm voting for a $4,600 raise for somebody who's in poverty. But we can do better. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Adam, thank you very much for your call. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood tonight, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Gwendolyn in Mont Airy. Gwendolyn, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hello there.
Hi.
I'm concerned about senior housing. I've been trying to get a senior apartment, and I've been going up against stone walls. It's like I can't get any help. Is there anything else I can do?
Yes, thank you, Gwendolyn. Affordable housing for seniors and for families, but for seniors is a big challenge. The waiting lists seem like they're forever.
Yes.
There is a senior housing development that's going up at the intersection of Haines and Limekiln Pike. Haines and Limekiln Pike. It's going to be Gala Housing. So that's going to be senior housing that's under construction, where they'll be taking new applications. There's another senior housing, affordable housing, that's going to be in Jenkintown. It's right next to Borough Hall on Summit, on Summit Street, right off of Old York Road. That's going to be some more. It's new construction also going up. So I would say applying for either the housing or at Haines and Limekiln, I'm pretty sure that's Gala, and the housing, that's the senior housing that's going to be in Jenkintown on Summit, those are new, They're both in the district, you know, not that far from Mount Airy.
Right.
Those would be the best suggestions that I would have. Feel free to contact my office. My staff may have some more suggestions.
Okay.
But those are the top two. Give them the phone number for my office is 215-242-8171.
8171. Yep. Are they able to give you more information?
Yeah, particularly those two. Those are the
yes.
main two that I know that are going up. Folks in my office may know more than what I know, but yes, I think we can give you some leads, some more leads.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Have a good holiday.
Gwendolyn, thank you very much for your call. If you have a question for Senator Haywood tonight, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Michelle in Mount Airy. Michelle, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi, Senator Haywood. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. I have a question in reference to your program that you were talking about for training and everything.
Yeah.
How to get into the program. But my main question and concern is, for a person who may be having trouble in getting jobs because they was in jail for a little while, like they need a second chance, are they eligible for a program such as the one you're speaking of?
Yes. So I'm so glad you raised that. So number one, yes, there are a lot of obstacles for people who've been incarcerated to get jobs. But
mm-hmm.
we are slowly, and it's taking a long time, we're slowly reducing those obstacles. So here's the path forward. Number one, all of the job training programs that I have listed in my office will take people whether they've had a previous record or not. So having a previous record does not disqualify. The person can still get this job training. So that's number one.
Okay.
Number two, we in Pennsylvania have created some rules so that employer is not permitted to ask someone, do they have a record at the point of the interview? The first point of the interview is something we call ban the box. Ban the box says it's no longer a box that says on a job application whether you have a record or not. So you can get it, go through the job application process. Now, eventually, the employer can ask the question. But I've talked to the HR manager, human resources manager, at PGW, at Aqua, and at PECO. And they all have said to me that they hire people who have a record. They have a process. One of them has a committee where the committee looks at the person's record to see if it's how much of a risk the person may or may not be, how long ago it was in the past. They take that into consideration, what the person was convicted of. And they have a committee, and that committee is they call it a risk committee. Look at the risk, the so-called risk of a person. And most of the time they tell me they hired a person. So I strongly encourage anyone with a record to keep trying because the rules are changing. It's not like it was in 1980 or 1990 or even in 2000. The rules are changing more and more for more flexibility. Don't give up.
Okay, yeah, because, I mean, this person just, it seemed like every time they go out, by the time they do the background check, you know, the background, it comes up, and then they don't get the job. So
It's still a problem. Now, I would say it might be helpful for us to talk to the person because there's some of these employers that we know who are more willing to accept people who may have a record. Like there's some grocery stores like Jeff Brown, ShopRite. he's willing. He sees the value of people and giving people a second chance. So there are some employers who are like second chance ones. Obviously, mm-hmm. there's some, as we know, there's many who are not. But we can work with the second chance employers. I encourage you to have this, your friend or the person, your loved one, the person you're concerned about, mm-hmm. to contact my office. We'd be glad to sit down and share which employers tend to be more willing to do the second chance. That's probably where the best shot. That's the best shot.
Okay. And it can be reached at the number 242-8171.
Yes. Or okay. Come by the office. Now, my office is on Germantown Avenue, right at Mount Pleasant. We're there 9 to 5. No appointments required. We come by the office and we'll provide the advice and help come up with some solutions. That's what we do.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Welcome.
Michelle, thank you very much for your question. Senator, thank you. Senator, before we get to the callers, just a reminder, if you have a question for Senator Haywood tonight, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Again, that's *3 if you have a question for Senator Haywood. Senator, we're going to go to our next live poll question for those that want to participate, and that question is, do you believe the people's budget is the right approach? And that's the people's budget the Senator outlined earlier in the call. The question, again, is, do you believe the people's budget is the right approach? If you do, you press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, you can press 2. Senator, let's go back to the callers. We're going to go to Leo.
Could I just interject quickly?
Oh, sure. Leo, you're live with Senator Haywood, but hold on 1 second. So go ahead, Senator.
Leo, give me a shot. Give me a moment here. The people's budget is on my website because I gave a very, very brief description of it. I know many people will want to get more information before they say they're for or against it. It's on my website, senatorhaywood.com. The details of it are there, so I encourage people to check that out. Thank you, Leo. Go ahead.
Okay. I heard where you said that you thought that you would have an opportunity to get the minimum wage to at least like $9.50.
Yes.
That would get people out of that whole poverty situation. My question to you is, this is my first question, is will that disqualify them for some other aids that they might be getting now? Will they be in a position where they will disqualify for some aid, but they still will be in a position where they'll need more help? And my second question is that a whole lot of people who have gotten laid off in this economy have been people towards the tail end of their employment life, and it's been harder for those people to find a job because they're basically looking for young people. They're not looking to hire somebody who's at 55 or older and not old enough for Social Security, but still need to work until they get to that point.
Yes. So let me thank you. Thank you so much. Let me address the first question first. We have had a number of studies from the Wolf administration and beyond about getting people to 950 and what the impact will be on health care, food assistance, housing assistance. And what we have found, and the studies have shown, that at about 950 is when your money can make up for the loss of benefits. Now, that's 950. At 850, it doesn't happen. 850 is not enough. If you get a raise to 850, you're going to lose benefits, and the benefits that you lose can be greater than the paycheck that you're getting. But you get to 950, particularly and up, then you're much better able to manage the loss of public assistance. But the health care assistance stays around. Some of the other assistance goes down, gradually down, but still present. Let me also say something else about the minimum wage. It is just the starting pay. And so people starting at 950, hopefully over time they'll go from 950 to 10 to 1050 and up. And won't stay at 950 for a lifetime. but it is a much stronger place to start. And the impact is, the studies we've seen say that the benefits that will lost, that would be lost mostly will be made up by the higher paycheck.
Okay.
On the older adult question, we have seen that. Actually, I saw some, I've heard about it. Actually talked to, even got a friend who's got that challenge, and actually saw a number of articles in the newspaper about older adults not having a place, you know, being, as you say, being replaced by younger people. I do not have a solution for that. I know that if it's actually you've been fired based on age, that's illegal. There's an Age Discrimination Act. If you're over, and if you're over 40 years old, over 40 years old, and you're fired because of your age, that's illegal in Pennsylvania, and you can sue and get money or get your job back. But the general economy, which is pushing older people out, I've seen it. I can't tell you, ma'am, I really have a solution for it, other than when it's directly fired or getting demotion based on age, it is illegal. And I encourage people to file a complaint with the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission. That's why they're there. Human Relations Commission is there to take complaints, and so people can file a complaint and get money or a job back, whether it's based on age or race or national origin, gender. That's what the Human Relations Commission is there for.
Okay, but a lot of times, too, it's, mm-hmm. it's harder even to get a job once you've been laid off at that age.
It is. No, it is. I don't. I tell you, ma'am, I don't have a. I've seen the same thing, but I can't tell you I really got a solution for it. Because these employers, they do get the right to make decisions about who they want to hire. And if we can't show that it's based upon age specifically, then they can go ahead and do it. But it's a tremendous challenge. I'll think more about what can be done. I don't know that there's a new law that could be adopted to stop the employers from doing that. I'll be glad to look into that question. I'm not sure, but it's increasing. And Pennsylvania, you probably know this already, Pennsylvania has one of the largest number of people 60 and over. I think we're number three in the nation in terms of people 60 years old and older. So we got, I think I heard 25%, one out of four people are going to be 60 and older. So this is a big challenge to address.
So there isn't like an agency that can help people who are in that 53, 50 and older find
employment?
Employment, yeah.
Yeah. So the one agency I'm aware of, and I'll have to look more into this, the one agency I'm aware of that helps people try to find jobs that's connected with the state is CareerLink. And CareerLink, of course, they would help people of all ages try to help them get a job. The CareerLink is down in Germantown at Haynes and Germantown Avenue. Beyond that, in terms of older adults, I'm not sure. For my first 4 years in the state Senate, I was the chairperson of the Aging Committee, where we dealt with the challenges facing older adults. And I just don't recall any organization. You know, there's AARP, but AARP is, I'm not sure they're doing much in terms of finding jobs for people. I'm not aware of that. I'll look into that. Can you leave a phone number? And then I'm going to have my staff do some research and see what they come up with. Just because I haven't come up with it in this call doesn't mean we can't find an answer through more research.
Okay.
How do we get Leah's phone number? How do we get the phone number here?
Yeah, we have Leah's phone number here.
You got it already. Okay, we'll get back to you.
We have her phone number, and we'll pass that along so that there can be contact with your office.
Thank you.
Okay, Leah, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Aisha. Aisha, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Oh, hello, Senator Haywood. Good evening.
Hello. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I just actually had a question, and it was related to your poll question. Can you just tell me a little bit more about the people's budget? What's the total amount of the budget and the type of things that you plan to fund with the budget?
Thank you so much for asking. I'm glad to share it. So the amount of money coming into the people's budget is about $3 billion, $3 billion. I'll give you some more context. Every year, and this year no exception, we have a state budget that's about $34 billion. But that $34 billion basically goes for the set of priorities that are okay, but they don't go far enough. They do not go far enough. So the $3 billion I have allocated quickly as follows. Number one, $1 billion of the $3 billion to higher education. Part of that goes to the colleges and universities, state colleges and universities, and half of it goes to reducing student loan debt, which is really family loan debt for higher education. So that's $1 billion. I have another $500 million going to public education, K-12 public schools. That means that in 6 years, 6 to 8 years, our schools will be fairly funded. And that is critical. If we stay on our current path, it'll take about 50 years. $500 million gets our schools fairly funded in about 6 to 8 years. Third, I have borrowing, using some of the money for a infrastructure program to fix up the schools, to fix the roads, to fix the bridges, to allow us to have broadband internet across the Commonwealth. So I got a big infrastructure spend. I got $75 million for anti-violence and reentry programs because people are coming out of prison and there's no reentry program or programs that are well organized that get folks back into society so they can get a job and housing, get back up on their feet and not just fall right back into the same folks that they were associating with. I got $200 million. I got more, but this is my last one for this one. We got $200 million for environmental and job training. We got a lot of people who I consider to be underemployed. They are working 2-3 jobs, but they are underemployed because they are not making enough on one job to make it, which is why they got to have 2-3 jobs. So many of these individuals need 1 to 2 years worth of training to boost them up to a higher job category, whether that's in the mechanic area, whether that's in medical administration. There's a wide number of jobs that a person can get. So those are some of the areas where we would spend the money, and we would get the money to spend from basically had two different tax-the-rich programs, which I can talk to you about in further detail.
Okay. Thank you again. It's just, you know, during the question, they said, are you supporting it? And I'm like, well, what is it
yeah,
about?
Yeah, what is it?
What
is it?
What
now,
is it about?
Yeah, now I want you to know, Aisha, that my people's budget is on my website, SenatorHaywood.com. We can get much more detailed in the 1 or 2 minute explanation, a short summary I just provided. This, I believe, will take some time to get adopted, but each part of the people's budget is supported by a number of other legislators. Some of it supported by the governor already, and it's the direction in which the state, in my opinion, needs to go. If we invest, go ahead.
I'm sorry, no. I didn't mean to cut you off, Senator Haywood.
Go ahead.
I know you said that the state agreed, you said the Senate agreed to increase the wage. So
yes.
Does that mean the bill is actually passed and it's going to happen, or are you waiting for it to still pass?
Thank you. That's an excellent question. I wish I was more clear. So the Senate passing it is one step along the way. It's not the final step. The Senate passed it. I'm in the Senate, so we were able to get it to pass. It goes from the Senate to the House, and we now need the House to pass it. Now, the House is in session now. I think they're going to be up and making decisions between now and December the 18th. It is my hope that the House does approve it. Once the House approves it, the governor has already agreed to sign it. So we got two out of three. We got the governor, we got the Senate, but we still need the House to go along. If the House doesn't go forward with it, then it doesn't pass.
It doesn't pass. Okay, because I wasn't sure if it should pass, but I just wasn't sure how close we were. Thank you.
Yeah,
so much.
Takes two out of three. It takes three out of three. We got two out of three. We still need the House. But it's in the House. It's under consideration in the House. Obviously, I'm not in the House. I can't predict it. But I'm very I'm hopeful and optimistic.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Aisha, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Pearlie. Pearlie, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi, Senator. This is Pearl Baker. I live in Manieri. And to piggyback on the budget, now,
yes,
if it does pass, would that apply to student loans that now exist?
So, two things. One, if it does not pass, then everybody stays where they are, paying whatever student loans they're paying. Number two, if we do pass it, then one element does include some refinancing for existing student loans. Now, I can't say it's going to be all past student loans. I don't think we're going to be able to cover all of the past student loans. But we do have a provision to cover some of the past student loans, and that is to refinance them. Some will be reduced the amount, and some will be refinancing the amount. Now, that's at the state level. You may have heard a lot of different ideas to eliminate student loans from various people running for president. There's at least two or three people running for president who said they're going to wipe out all the student loans. And so that's for the past. Those proposals are deal with the past comprehensively if you're going to wipe them all out. But the state program would not be as big as the ones that these people who are running for president are saying. It would not be as big.
Okay. Now, when you say refinancing, you mean at a lower interest rate?
Yes. That's exactly what I mean. A lower interest rate so that the interest that people pay is less, you know, on the total debt. So that is exactly it. And some of these student loans are at, 9, 12. I mean, some of them are pretty high. And
right, you
go from 9 to 3%. I mean, it's a big change. I refinanced my house, and now my house is refinanced at 3%. That's
right,
a good rate. That 3% is good. And
right, so
it means that, you know, the total I got to pay over time is a lot less. We can do the same thing that happened with me refinancing my house. We can do the same thing with student loans, but we would need some government support to make up the difference. And that's in part what the legislative proposals do. Student loan debt, I tell people, is often family loan debt. It's not just the student who's got to pay it. I'm paying now for student loan debt. And, you know, I haven't been a student in a long time. But I had three children. I wanted to make sure that they could come out of college with as little debt as possible. And so, you know, a lot of parents are taking the student loan on debt. They co-sign for loans, that kind of thing. So it's they call it student loan, but some of this is like a family loan situation.
Pearl, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Mike in Abington. Mike, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes, Senator. Thanks for taking my call. Just a quick question about the budget. I see $500 million to higher ed. Is there any money going to go to teaching kids trades.
So
not every kid is meant to go.
I'm with you
100%.
Yep. Higher ed, and that's really why I call it higher education and not college. Because college is much more limited, higher education is much broader. So for instance, this money would include for post high school. Now it is beyond high school, but beyond high school it would include trades. It would include going into manufacturing. So my $500 million is not limited to four-year college, 1 year, 2 years. Now, I'll be straight up with you. I do think that high school is not enough. And whether you need 1 year beyond high school or 6 months beyond high school or 2 years beyond high school is often required. But we have solutions. I was on talking to someone earlier on this call about $50,000, $60,000, $80,000 jobs a year that people can get with 1 and 2 years worth of advanced training. I was at Penn College of Technology in the middle of the state, and they were sharing me a wide range of jobs, particularly in welding, where you can make $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 a year with 1 to 2 years training. So we are completely open to creating opportunities for folks that do not require a four-year college education. And
that's why we call it
higher education, not necessarily just college. Go ahead.
I think the website, though, your website should say, you know, higher education is college, trade schools, because people look at higher education and they think, okay, I got to go to 4 years of college. And it's not that. I also think that we are failing the kids at the high school level by not identifying kids that want to go into a trade in high school. If they learn the trade in high school, maybe when they get out of high school and maybe have one more year of trade school, they might be at 19, they may be walking into a $60,000 a year job.
So number one, I agree with you on both counts, and I will have my staff adjust the website so it clarifies that higher education includes trades, associate's degree, certificates. We have, Mike, I don't know if I can get it to you, we have created in my office a handout that has a tree, a picture of a tree on it, and it has different branches. One branch is the trades branch. Another branch is the associate's branch. Another branch is a certificate. Another is college education. We got like five branches. So a young person can see that there's different paths. And we did that so we can try to open up the eyes of young people to opportunities where you only need a year or 2 years worth of training. And even in these apprenticeship programs for many of these trades, they are 4 or 5 years, but you start getting paid early. So we're 100% in on trying to open people's eyes to opportunities in the trades and in the mechanics. Now, on the high school side, I firmly agree. We have looked at some of these high schools. They're not doing anything. That's not true. They're not doing enough to help young people understand the many choices. Now, one thing that the state did do that I think is going in the right direction, now they just did it, but there's now a career readiness aspect that's supposed to be now in high schools so that young people are taught to about a range of careers, not just college. I think that is a step forward. We did that. The career readiness. We did that last year. The year before, and it's rolling out. It'll take a while.
But aren't the high schools still rated on the number of kids that go to college?
So there are those ratings by U.S. News and World Report, some of these magazines, but these are all national magazines. However, for the state of Pennsylvania, the new ratings are not just college-focused, as opposed to these magazines. The Pennsylvania Department of Education has a career readiness metric that is used to evaluate getting young people into careers. And that's Pennsylvania. That's not every state in the nation. But in Pennsylvania, we adopted this career readiness approach because we're aware, you know, there's some young people, they need to be ready for these careers. And there's a bunch of, A, jobs opening up because older people are, you know, leaving the workforce, those skills are being left behind. There's a lot of job openings in these areas. So in Pennsylvania, we can get it to you. Our career readiness index is a beginning, I don't say a beginning, it's a step toward making public schools pay more attention to career readiness, trades, and other jobs that people can get with a year or so out. Now, it's still a big challenge. Now, where are you? Where you live, Mike?
Abington.
So we have the Eastern Tech up
yes.
in Willow Grove.
Yep.
Now, I've been there. We took a tour there. I think the Governor Wolf was up there I think Governor Wolf was up there yesterday or the day before. Maybe. I think it was yesterday. So Eastern Tech is fantastic. They show you they've got people building houses. They got vet tech. They got dental. I mean, they got a range. And it's being more and more recognized. So I think in our area, of course, we can encourage more people to go there so they see more choices. But that's a place where there is opportunity. And I can't remember what they said about enrollment. I don't know that they are at capacity. I think they could still take some more young people.
Plumbers can make anywhere from $80,000 to $100,000 a year, a journeyman plumber.
Oh,
so,
definitely. Carpenters?
Yeah, right. So no college degree, but you put the 5 years in for your apprenticeship, and you can be up to $90,000.
That's right. Now, we have shared that. Now, one of the challenges, I probably got to take another caller, but one of the challenges, I'm not trying to rush myself.
That's right.
We found that we had to deal with a significant stigma from the parents, not from the children, but from the parents. And so we were trying to help parents understand there's much wider range of opportunities. Here's some more paths where people can earn a decent living, and we had a number of parents it was hard to sell some of these parents on these opportunities. Any suggestions that you have to deal with the parents? Because it's the parents we have to help understand that these are good opportunities, because sometimes we got to go through the parents to get to the kids.
Well, 10 years ago, you were almost, if your kid didn't go to college, your kid was considered a failure. You know, but college is not for every kid.
That's the
point I'm trying to make. And there
are
other great careers. You may not become a millionaire, but you're going to live a nice life. And there are other jobs out there other than college.
I agree. You know? I agree.
And they should be promoted, not frowned upon.
I'm 100% there, and I'll make sure our website is more clear on that. But we have spent 2 years in my office easy trying to help people understand that there's far more career opportunities. And I know we got your contact information, Mike, your phone number. I'm going to send you what I described, which is our tree of opportunity. Because on one side, we had a tree of opportunity. On the back, we have what are called opportunity jobs. And opportunity jobs are jobs that people can get with 1 or 2 years worth of training that can sustain a person. $50,000, $60,000 a year. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Okay. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Mike, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're coming down the home stretch here, and I know you have some concluding remarks for those that have joined us.
Yes. Thank you all who've participated in our town hall discussion. To those who listened in and to those who shared their opinions and asked questions, it was so helpful. This has been a great discussion. Especially want to thank Ernestine, Elizabeth, Martha, Adam, Aisha, Pearl, Mike, Gwendolyn, Michelle, and Leah. Thank you for calling in and sharing your thoughts, raising your questions, and with your input. If someone called in and did not have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we'll get back to you. Thank you again for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-242-8171. You can also visit my website at senatorhaywood.com. Good night, and thank you so much. Have a great holiday season. We won't have any more telephone town halls until 2020. Thank you all who participated in 2019.
Thank you again for participating in Senator Art Haywood's telephone town hall. You have been a wonderful audience, and please enjoy the rest of your evening.